Our gracious Father in heaven, you allow me to stand in front of these wonderful people, the one who loves you, but I'm so terrible to see myself with my language, the way I speak, slow and sometimes confusing words. But I just trust you that whatever words that is coming out of my mouth is not my words, but it's a message that you are giving, because we want to see a lot of your words in the Bible. So please bless each and every one of us here so that this is a new beginning of our Christian journey, because we really need that. Am I a carnal person? Am I a flesh person? Or am I a spiritual person, which is so important? So please bless this worship service in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. I want to show these slides, and look at the top. It says what? AI overview means the robot. When I ask some question about the faith, and they printed out even scripture. Wow! Then I look at the scripture. 1 John 4:19. It says what? We love because He first loved us. Now the faith gives to us by God is a living and active faith. It sounds very good. But remember, when I check this 1 John 4:19, there are some words that added there. So unless we really check with the source of the spiritual truth, we can be, what, sometimes deceived. Even though word is right, 1 John 4:19 is only we love because He first loved us, and the rest is some commentary words computer this robot put into. So Bible says don't add any words in the Bible, then plague, God's plague will upon you. Or don't delete any words, then your name will be deleted. I think we are in a time where we should be very serious about to find what is the truth. Today I didn't come to here to preach about robot. Yeah, anyway, you understand what I'm saying. Jesus said, "Where is your faith?" And if you understand what He said throughout the gospel, there are interesting words that it says. Sometimes He says, "How come you have no faith?" And other times He says, "How come you have so little faith?" And then other times He says, "Wow, I never found such a great faith." And also, "The great is your faith," to the woman. How we can tell what kind of faith I have? I didn't come here today even on the faith, but I just figure out this is so important for us when we deal with the Bible. We have to have a faith. Now, how you can achieve the great faith that even Jesus surprised? Or how and when you can have a, Jesus is scolding, no faith. If you believe nothing about the Bible, then Jesus will say what? Oh, you have a great faith? No, you have no faith. But if you are believing maybe half of what is written, maybe you have a half faith or some faith. But if you believe what? everything in total as Word of God, and you truly believe that, Jesus said, you have a great faith. So faith is where you trust either 100% or 50% or 10%. Faith is our daily experience in other matter too, right? So today, I'm challenging you a words that we had such a nice scripture reading today. And this is the word, This is a testimony that God has given us what? Eternal life. And this life is in His Son, Jesus Christ. So he who has no Son has no life, but if we have a Jesus Christ, we have a life. Do you really believe this? Truly? 100%? That's what we have to do. Each verses, scripture, when you read it, you test your faith, whether I truly put my trust in it or not. Otherwise, we'll be astray. Now, here, when we come to church, we hear, oh, you're a sinner. You know, people are a sinner. They are sin. I'm just telling you, the real definition of sin is when we have no eternal life that God originally provided to us. So everybody is a sinner in that sense, okay? Now, in order to understand what is this life that is in Christ, what is this eternal life, we have to go where? We have to go back to the origin. So we have to go back to Genesis story. Here, I show this many times in different way, but when I prepared this sermon, God gave me another ideas, and I'm going to share with you. Jehovah God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostril the breath of life, and then man become, it doesn't say man has living soul, because many people think man has a soul, so when they die, the soul still going out of my body to somewhere continuously existing eternally. So some soul end up into hell, and then what? They live in the hell eternally. Even there's a fire going on eternally. So they have eternal life in the sense. Maybe it's hotter than here, but a different environment. But still, if you believe the eternal soul existing in the hell, the soul is eternal. But here, soul we have is not a really, we don't have a soul. We are living soul. But the thing here is living, the words living. It's very interesting. The soul is the Hebrew words is nefesh. But when you look at here, number 19, verse 13, whosoever touches the dead body of any man that is a dead, Bible says now, living soul, and here dead body, but when I check that, the word body is the same words like a soul. It's nefesh. So in other words, Bible tells there is a living soul and a dead body, but soul and body are same words. The nefesh, the word is about 700 times in the Old Testament, but it has a different meaning, but most of them is not body. There are some occasions it's body, but most of them is life, actually soul. It's a living person. That is what it's talking about. But here, dead body, and I thought that body is our body. But no, it's a soul. Dead soul. In other words, soul is what? Soul can be what? Dead. Never existing. And if we touch the dead soul or dead body, then we can be defiled. So there is water prepared to wash us so that we can be away from this uncleanness. And so there, and then also interesting is, there shall be none be defiled for the dead. Now, if that word is nephesh, we can translate the defiled for the soul. But here in the Bible, actually, when you have a dead body, they don't even use the word dead, but the soul, the nephesh, but they understand that's a dead body. So like in the Passover, if you are defiled by this dead body, that soul, you are not able to participate that Passover. And so the Bible actually is very interesting to indicate that we are originally a living soul. Living soul, soul is nephesh, but when you are not, when you have no life, living is out, then it's just nephesh. It means just, actually, in other translations, it says carcasses, is dead body. You know, people have very, very uncomfortable experience with when you see the dead body. When I went to the medical school, one of the first class was anatomy, human anatomy. And there are big classroom, and there are many, many tables where dead body was covered up, and we have to open up, and we start with the dissect all this dead body. Everybody was so serious, including myself. You know, and then for the first couple of days, we are very quiet, and then very, you know, another, a very unusual experience. But you know, as time goes, there's a laugh, and then and the joy, and talking, and then sometimes some people are eating next to that. So think about that. If some of you don't want to go to your doctor because, oh, I don't want to touch those, you can do it, okay, since I did that. Anyway, that is kind of side talk. But anyway, therefore, when there is a dead soul or dead body, body and soul is the same words, nephesh. Bible is now talking about a life of the flesh. So in other words, when I'm talking about here, when God created originally the living soul, this living soul is our life that we have now? No, it's Adam's life. This Adam's life is what? Eternal life. So when you leave the living out, then what happened? There's no eternal life. So what does Bible say about that kind of life, that in other words, what we have? Bible is talking about as, oops, sorry. As, remember, life of the flesh. But interesting here, that word life is also nephesh, the soul. And then flesh, you know that the flesh is, right? So a living soul changed life of the flesh. So since Adam lost his eternal life, all of people who are born to this world, including Adam, they have not eternal life, but the life that we enjoy, or we actually enjoy, and as today's children's story, we actually are living, but our source of life is like that big 100-year-old tree that cut, that was dead, and then from there sprout out, as if they are living continuously. No. So as we know, you know, I'm approaching to my last life. So actually, am I dying or am I living? Am I approaching to life or am I actually approaching to death? So The way we are living now, all humanity is the life of the flesh. Therefore, when we talk about eternal life, as we said, don't we have to believe that the life that Jesus has, the life that Jesus gives, that life is eternal life. There is a living soul. That living is important. That was gone at the time when they ate the tree. Now, how this eternal life was gone, and we know because of the story, then what is the situation? What is the progression of that? That is, we can find in Genesis chapter 6, verse 1, right before the Noah's flood, it says, it happened that when men began to multiply on the face of earth, was it wrong to multiply? No? Yes. Multiply was wrong because what did God originally plan? Before multiply, what has to be had? You don't know Bible? Genesis chapter 1, fruitful and then multiply. So people at that time, they don't care about the fruitful, but they just multiply. Why? They don't have this life eternal. Because what is a fruitful? You have to have a fruit of eternal life. And so they just multiply like all other animals on the face of earth. So that there was daughters born and the sons of God saw the daughters of men and they were good. And they took wives for themselves from whatever they want to choose. And that God says, when he look at that, what? God says, my spirit cannot always woo them or strive. In other words, conflict with them. So because that's the way they want, I'm going to withdraw my spirit. And then they become what? People become flesh. That's why we have a life of flesh. Now, interesting is this word is so much corrupted in the understanding of the Christianity because we think, not we, but many Christians say, oh, that sons of God and daughters of men, that means what? Angel came down here and married with the human daughters and then they brought some unusual species type things. No. Here, sons of God is the people who are supposed to honor God and follow God. And they are actually have a problem with the marriage with not the daughters of God, but daughters of men. Now, the problem here is what? Sons of God, what? Saw the daughters of men that, what? They were good. Where is this soul that was good? Where is that word coming from earlier? Eve, yes. When she saw that tree, wow, that was good for food. But Genesis chapter 2, what did God say? This fruit is not good, but all the rest of fruit is good for food. So these sons of men, sons of God, they saw just like Eve. When they see things in their own standard, you know, whether it's good or evil, it's only defined by God. But they are trying to define what God's supposed to define. Therefore, this day, when there's no God, everybody is their own gods. There's no so-called moral understanding. It's confused society. So remember where this flesh is coming. It's when spirit is withdrawn. That's where people have spiritless life. That is the life of the flesh. And this flesh and spirit, that concept is throughout the whole Bible, and we are talking about that, so am I truly in the flesh or am I truly in the spirit? That's the message today. Or in other words, am I truly have eternal life or am I truly walking in the death? That is not really a true eternal life. It's just the temporary life that we have in this life, which is not ever, it is not the one that God originally planned. The word flesh is very good words because that word is the Hebrew word basar, and that word first appear in Genesis chapter 2 verse 24 because man and woman, when they become husband and wife, they become what? One flesh. So the word flesh, you have to understand in what context that word's really meaning. Sometimes it's very, very good meaning. Sometimes it's actually a sinful meaning. That's what you have to understand. So in Genesis, Old Testament like that, in the New Testament, Matthew chapter 19, verse 5, Jesus said, the two of them shall be one flesh. So this flesh in New Testament, it says, sark. There's another word for the flesh is sark, but body, and body is they call soma. You know, have you heard the psychosomatic? You know, somatic is coming from the soma, which is body. Okay, psycho means, you know, mind, and it's very important to understand a meaning of the biblical words. Otherwise, you'll be totally confused. And how we can find this meaning of the words? You cannot go to any dictionaries because these are all the dictionary. Then that actually, I mean, a lot of them are good, no doubt about that. Scholarly work, scholastic work. But if they don't have any concept about the biblical vocabulary, they can mislead. So you have to understand those words in the context of the Bible, how the other part of the Bible defines what kind of words. So we have to understand biblical definition of the vocabulary. That's why we say the text without context is what? Text without context is pretext. Pretext. In other words, you have to understand that flesh, oh, that's a bad one. No, this is a blessing of God in the sense. In other words, you have to know the context where this word was used and then how the context that not only that particular verse, but throughout the Bible, we have to understand that way. So as we heard about, there's one tree that God says, do not even eat and it surely die. Now, there are many Christians say that what we have inherited from Adam, they say, well, we are inherited from Adam the corrupt, sinful nature. So when we born in this world, we have that corrupted, sinful nature, so we sin, and then we die. But remember, corrupted sinful nature is a result of the death. Now, that is the one that caused the death. Because when Adam and Eve, when they ate the tree, their life become what? Their life become not eternal life. Their life become a short life of one time. Because they lost the eternal life. So whoever be born after the Adam, through Adam, they don't have eternal life. So when you don't have eternal life, you are what? You're bound to die. So death is your ruler. So because of you are under the slave of death, we are bound to have corrupt, simple nature. And so we commit the sin. But those are not the cause of our death, in a sense, because we already have death. We are already dead in trespass and sin. Now, so this is the issue. The Romans chapter 5, verse 12. Therefore, just as through one man Who is one man there? It's Adam. Adam and sin enter to the world. And then what? The death through sin entered this world. And thus, death what? Spread to whom? To all men. Where is the all men came from? Therefrom, God didn't create those all men. Of course he did, but through Adam, Adam's seed. Therefore, when Adam's seed was received and have a next generation, they already be what? Influenced by the Adam's seed, which is no eternal life. Therefore, they are now, in the book of Romans, says, because now the death rule over them. You know, death rule over from Adam to Moses. You heard those stories, but so this is where the issue was. When I read this scripture, many people think the death spread to all men, and the New King James says, because all sinned. Is it because they have sinned, so the death spread to them? Or what? Because the way I look at it is, when they are all born to this world, they already have no life, eternal. So when I check other translation, it says, with the consequential result that all sin. In other words, death spread to all men, and with a consequential result that all sin. And then the other one is, for that all have sinned. There are some, you know, a different version there. And then another one is, death spread to all men, in that all have sinned. I like the last one here, because death spread to all men for this reason, that all have sinned. So in other words, Adam had eternal life. Because of sin, he actually become dead. So Adam started with what? Adam started with the sin and then become death. But all the rest of people started with what? With the death first, because they inherited the life, Adam's life, of the temporary life, the life that is a life of flesh. Therefore, for that reason, all have sinned. So when you say, there's one theologian said that when Adam sinned, his spiritual life was immediately disappeared, but he now start to have slow physical death. And so that's why Adam lived, 930 years, something like that. But I think the problem is, we have to understand that our condition is different from Adam's condition, because Adam had eternal life, and because of his sin, that eternal life lost. So God gave a probationary life, that those probationary life, he can repent, come back to God, and which I believe he did. But we, all descendants of Adam, when we born to this world, we don't have that eternal life. That is only later, through Jesus Christ, we can have the eternal life. So originally, not because all sinned, so death spread to all men. No, I think, biblically speaking, death spread to all men and become the ruler of this world. And for this reason, we have sinned. So if you look at in this respect, it's very interesting. These days, people are saying, well, child has no sin because they're so innocent. If you emphasize human moral behavior, of course, they didn't steal, they didn't commit any adultery, any lie, of course. But they are born to this world under the rulership of the death. So when they grow up, eventually their sinful nature is demonstrated. In other words, they are actually doing just like we did. They are just doing what the death command them to do, because we are slave of the death. Only Jesus Christ can separate that or liberate that from the bondage of the sin, as we know throughout the Bible. So these are the words. I want you to study this, because some people might be a little bit confused. But let's talk about as time goes. That's why Ephesians 4:18, we are all what? Alienated from the life of God. What is life of God? That's original living soul, that living soul, the living is gone, eternal life is gone. That's what I'm talking about. So everybody are sinner in this world, as Romans said. There's no righteous one. Only whom? Only Jesus Christ. And so people are blinded. There's so many evidence of the true, perfect God, and he can give a life. His life is not a temporary life. His life is eternal life. But they're blinded. They're ignorant. And they have a misunderstanding. They're in the darkness. That's why they are away from the life of God. That's why the basic ABC of Christian life is what? We have to be what? We have to be born again. Why we have to be born again? We're already born. But the way we are born is very unfair. Why? Because God treated that way? No. Because of my parents. They messed up. You go all the way to Adam. Adam messed up. So when we are born of this world, they never ask me whether I like this. I want to choose whether I come to this life or not. No, there's no my choice. Therefore, we must be born again to enter into a kingdom of God. That's where you and I, we have to make our real choice. So if you're born of the flesh, then we're all born of flesh, because where spirit is not there, then we are flesh. But when we born again through the water and spirit, then we are actually spirit. Do you believe that with all your heart? See, each Bible is talking about a challenge, whether I'm going to believe this word or that word. Because many people say, oh, I'm half flesh and I'm half spirit. I'm back and forth. No, Bible says, no, if you truly believe Jesus Christ, you are no longer flesh, you are spirit. So act like a spiritual person. And if you're flesh, you act like the flesh. Think about this. If you live like a flesh, is it easy or hard to live like a spirit? Hard. How about the other way around? If you're the spirit, is it easy to live like a flesh? Some people might say yes. Well, then you're probably not at that level yet. Think about this. But Bible is truly say, not because of my purse heraldry. No, I'm not, as you said, I'm not that level yet. But I think I have to at least accept what the Bible says that is true. Not because I feel that is right. No. Because Bible is word of God. And there's no other deviation. When he says A, it's A. Now, it's very busy slides. But basically what it is, if you're fleshly living, your mindset is flesh. That's where you are, you like it. You really dictate what that really wants you to do. And ultimately, to be a carnal minded is a death. But if you're spiritually minded, you have a life and peace, because carnal mind is enemy against God. So it is not subject to the law of God. If you ask, all this world, we are emphasizing of the morality. So God's commandment, the last sixth commandment is actually morality. Okay? So sometimes Christian is inferior to other people in keeping those six morality. But the other first four, you know, if you're in a carnal minded, why don't you keep the Sabbath? Let's go with me. On the Sabbath, you don't work your occupation. You just think about more spiritual things. It's going to be hell of 24 hours for them. See, that's why God cannot have those people into heaven. It's eternity. To them, it's eternal turmoil and torment. Why God let them be unhappy in that kind of environment? There's no one that will be happy in both, you know, both sides hanging on. No, we either stand this side or we have to go this way. So here, if you are not in flesh, but in the spirit, if your spirit of God dwells in you, so if you think God's spirit dwells in you, you are truly a spiritual person, not a flesh. But you think, no, I still, there's some hesitance. Why? Because there is still that influence, the influence of the flesh. So Bible says we have to die to the flesh. And I cannot do it. Only Holy Spirit can come and change our heart. And if we don't have that experience, it says, if anyone has not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. Gospel is very clear and very decisive and very what? It's very critical for our destiny. Not just next few hours, next few years. It's an eternal destiny. He who sins is of the devil. For the devil has sinned from the beginning. For this purpose, Jesus was manifested. He might destroy the works of the devil. Whosoever been born of God does not sin, and he cannot sin. Why? Because seed of God remains in him because he has been born of God. There's no in between here. It's very day and light. I mean day and night. I think when we compromise, we are all going this way and that way, and that is where there is no persecution, because we are just like, outside people. Their same lifestyle. Only come to be Christian when they come to church. And after that, they're just free to whatever they do. I don't think this Bible is commending that, as you probably see, as I see probably. It's not my word. It's Bible. So we all have to watch that. So here, very interesting. I never had anybody to compare these two scripture. The Romans 8:7, carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can it be. But in John 3:9, whoever has been born of God does not sin, for his seed remains in him, and he cannot sin because he has been born of God. Now, just like a carnal mind cannot have God's lifestyle, same goes if you're truly born of God, you cannot follow the carnal minds. Now, this word, let me see, I think I have here. This word cannot, same words over in the Romans 8:7, when you're dealing with the carnal mind, that also same words, cannot sin. Is it neither it neither can, and neither means not, as you know. So actually, if you remove that neither, it neither cannot be it. Cannot it be? And so it's the same words, and that words in the Greek grammar, I don't know much about that, but it says it's a passive dependent voice. It means there are some other translation. It says that cannot sin in this way. He cannot going on sinning because he has been born of God. And other scripts, other translations says he is not able to continue sinning, or he cannot continue to sin, cannot keep on sinning, cannot habitually sin, will not continue to sin, and cannot going on sinning. In other words, it's a sort of lifestyle. Maybe here and there, I will explain that later, we might fall into the temptation. And if you do that, don't worry about that, because I'll show the scripture where there is hope. But we are in majority of my life has to be a different lifestyle, as the other party have their own different lifestyle. And so this is amazing story in the Ephesians. And he made you alive. And because we are originally dead in trespass and sin, in which you once walked according to the course of this world. We are all part of that. I did too. But according to the prince of power of the air, the spirit is now working in the sons of disobedience. So we used to be a sons of disobedience. We follow the spirit of the power, the prince of power. Whatever they want to do, we just follow that. And we enjoy that. Because there's some pleasure, no doubt about that. But the end is a death. And the spirit now working is still sons of disobedience, among whom we all once conducted ourselves in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling desire of the flesh and minds, and we are by nature a children of wrath. But Bible doesn't end there. And then verse 4, but God, who is rich in mercy, because of his great love, with which he loved us, even when we are dead in trespass, made us alive together with Christ. By grace, we have been saved. We are saved by the grace of Jesus Christ. Not my act, not my work, not my keeping the Sabbath. These are all result of salvation that I received. That's why we are able to do that. Not because what I can do, but because the one who started good work in us will finish it in my life, in your life. And then not only he raised us up, but actually what? He made us sit together in heavenly place in Jesus Christ. What an amazing changing here we're talking about. Amazing promise. So, you know, in Galatians, works of the flesh, there are 17 of them. And then at the end of that, it says, etc. In other words, it's innumerable things. But it's basically coming from the flesh. But as we studied, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. There are many non-Christian who don't know about Jesus Christ. They manifest that, no doubt about that. But those are doing the fruit of their own self. We are talking about the fruit of the Holy Spirit. Many Christians think, oh, I have to bring out my more self-control, my more long-suffering, or maybe kindness more. No, I'm not working out to present that. It's only Holy Spirit to come here, and it's his fruit. Otherwise, we'll boast. Well, this is what I did. Look at my life. My, you know, this is where a lot of people who have this perfectionist. But remember, this is the fruit of the Holy Spirit, not our spirit. Let me ask you, when Jesus came to this world, was he of flesh or was he of the spirit? Both? Yeah, let's see how the Bible says. The angel in Luke 1, so we know the first advent, right? There are many people, even Christians, they don't know what is Advent. So the other day, as I shared before, there are some really good Christians. I said, you know, we talk about Christ's second coming, and I share Revelation, 22, I will come quickly. That's Christ's coming. You believe that? Yes. Where are you at now in this my clinic? Oh, it's an Adventist hospital. What is Adventist? What is Advent? They know the IST, or people who believe Advent, they don't know Advent. So I actually Google. If you Google the meaning of Advent, it says first Advent and second Advent, Christ's second coming. So, oh, you believe the Christ's second coming, you said. Yeah, then you are Adventist. And they kind of surprised. It's over and over again, I'm so joyful for them to understand. So they never forget in their minds that they're Adventist. So when Christ's advent, first advent says, it is Holy Spirit will come upon you. Power of the highest will overshadow you. It's Mary to Mary. Therefore, the Holy One who is to be born will be called what? Son of God. So it's just Holy Spirit. There is no defile. So Christ came to this world as what? As a Holy One. So, it was a virgin. Why it's a virgin? Because this is where Genesis chapter 3, verse 15, when God is giving a final judgment to Adam and Eve and the serpent, says, the seed of the woman, the seed of woman will fight with the serpent. Why not seed of the man? Adam was there, but woman, because Adam, the man, he already defiled. He doesn't have any eternal life. So there are going to be a separate seed that has to come without the Adam's seed. That's why virgin is depicted there. That's where I believe. In Galatians also it talks about that too. And the Emmanuel means what? God is with us. So the God who will be with us is Jesus Christ. So he's what? He's God. He's God. And we all know this, Handel's Messiah. Unto us a child was born and son is given. And government will be upon his shoulders. And his name, what? Is Mighty God and Everlasting Father. Even though he's coming to a baby, but he's already Everlasting Father. Not just one-time Father, it's Everlasting Father. It's only talking about Godhead. The Yahweh, the eternal, self-existing God, who is Jesus Christ. And it says he had no sin. So can we say he came here in the flesh? I'm talking about he actually took a flesh, and we'll talk about that, but not in the sense that we understand here, flesh and spirit, okay? He lived a life. His precious blood is without blemish, without spot. It's a perfect, perfect person. And think about this. When he dwelt in this world, his body, there was full of Godhead. Full of Godhead. There's nothing that was lacking as a God. But he humbled himself. That's why he was able to take the title as a Son of God. When you say Son of God, is always talking inferior to God. That's why a lot of some Christians think, oh, Jesus was inferior to God. So maybe ultimately he was created by the Jehovah God, the Father. So we don't even worship Jesus. Have you met some of those people? Yes or no? Well, we're not talking about negative things. We talk about positive things here. So when he was going around, he was carrying the fullness of Godhead. So here, when someone says, yeah, Jesus had the flesh, the word became flesh, the same word, sark. But remember, here's flesh, there are many other references. I cannot share that, but the flesh is, there will be no flesh will be saved, Jesus said. That flesh means it's a person, okay? Just man, person, life. That's what it means, flesh in that sense. So it's the same word. So when we talk about some words that is confusing, you have to think in the context. And that's why you are not misled. Because if he actually have a sinful flesh itself, then what? He cannot have a full of grace and truth and no glory. But trouble is here. Trouble is here. As you see here, Romans chapter 8, verse 3 and 4. What the law could not do in that it was weak through the flesh. Because human is so weak in their flesh, so law cannot help them to fulfill the law. And so God did send his own son. What is the words here? In the likeness of sinful flesh. Wow. So Jesus came here as a sinful flesh. No, Bible, look at the Bible, what it says. There are some words, the green color, likeness. This homoioma, that word's 6 times in the New Testament. So this word is so critical. It is not exactly the same as a sinful flesh. It looks like sinful flesh. That's what it means. And so don't ever say Jesus is a sinful flesh. If he is that, then he needs another what? Another savior. How that can be done? No, there's impossible. Now, very interesting here. On account of the sin, what is the next word? He condemned sin in the flesh. When I think about that, in order for Jesus to eradicate the sin problem, he didn't just say, sin, you go away. No, he actually got all the humanity's sins come into his own flesh, his own body. So that's why the Bible says, I will show that, he actually became what? He was made to be sin. That was not at the birth. That was at the cross. That's why sin was such abhorrent and cannot be coexist, commingled with God. That's why God has to, what? God has to even curse Jesus because he became cursed. What a story of Christ's sacrifice for us. So he condemned the sin, not far away, no. Condemned the sin, gather everything to himself. So he paid for his life for that. That's why that word says, because of that, he is now able to give his perfect righteousness to us. That transaction happened at the cross. Yeah, this is the word. For he had made him to be sin for us, that he who knew no sin, that he might be made the righteousness of God in him. So let me go over here again. The carnal mind is not something that you can subject to the law of God. So don't force any people who don't know about Jesus Christ, oh, you have to keep the Ten Commandments. No, that is not the time. Okay? They cannot. They have to know Jesus Christ and find the eternal life in them. And then John 1:3-9, when you're born of God, same goes. You're hating the carnal lifestyle. And so you cannot sin. You're not continuously sinning in your life. Because what? You have a life. Eternal life. Because you have been born of God. No, when I say born again, the again, enoton, that means not only again, in other words, repeating, but it also means above. Actually, you have a 10 times, I think, above, and two times again, the words. You know, Jesus says, I'm above, I came from above, you're from under this earth. So that words, born again, means you're born from above. Because this earth doesn't give you eternal life. There's no source, only coming from God. So, if we say that, and this is such amazing, comforting words. If we have no sin, then we deceive ourselves. Why? The truth is not there. But if you confess our sins, He is faithful just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So there are many people who say, the Bible says clearly two distinctive roads, but I don't want to commit because I know I will sin. That kind of presupposition. And so I want to be more comfortable not saying that I'm truly of the Spirit. But don't worry. That's your way of assessing you. But God says no. If you have truly the love of Jesus Christ, you have a Holy Spirit in you, you are no longer flesh. But I know there sometimes you fall. And then there is a remedy. Because that's what Jesus died for you. So there's nothing that we cannot commit our life on the solid ground of the spiritual lifestyles. And here's the kicker here. There are many witnesses for me and for you. Who are those witnesses? Nobody watching me? Yes. All heavenly God's people are watching what's going on in this planet Earth. It's their object of their interest. How they know that Jesus died and He resurrected, He went up there, but how His people living on this earth. So there's a witness. And so let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily beset us. There are some sins we are so grave enough we never, dare to. Are you planning to kill somebody? No, I don't think, at least in our congregation. But there are some sins that are so easily besets us. Like what? Look at those fruit of spirit. Self-control, irritation, complaining, all these things so easily beset us. Let us run with the patience the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. So don't ever think, I don't have much faith. Come to Jesus if that is the case, because He's the one who start your faith. He's the one who will finish your race. So He'll give you more blessing of increase your faith, because faith is what? It's not something I earn. It says it's a gift of the Holy Spirit, right? And so here says, Hebrew author says, you have not at the end, you have not yet resisted unto blood, striving against the sin. Most of the time, we just give in whenever there is temptation comes. Because if you give in, what? Devil didn't say anything. Oh, come on in and enjoy this. But if we are what? If you're resisting, there's a fight. When you have a fight, what happened? You have a bleeding, right? So that's what I'm talking about. people who, you know, in the wrestlers, if you see the wrestler have no scar, that guy is not really a true wrestler on the ring, right? He's just giving whatever. So we have to have a what? The mark of Jesus Christ. As Paul said, I carry the mark of Jesus Christ. So we have to resist. If we resist the devil, what the Bible says, devil will come back or flee. Flee, right? Flee. So ultimately, some of us will have to bleed to death fighting against sin. Those are the martyrs. I don't know, God will call you and me in that future scenario. Then that's okay. That's a blessing. That's an honor to him. So, but you are not in the flesh, but in the spirit. Do you believe that? Wholeheartedly. I'm glad that I hear the amen. Let's read this Christ of the lesson that some probably well know. By his perfect obedience, he has made it possible for every human being to obey God's commandments. When we submit ourselves to Christ, the heart, my heart, is united with his heart. My will be merged into his will. My mind become one with his mind. And the thoughts that we have will be brought into captivity to him. So we what basically live, what kind of life? We live his life. This is what it means to be clothed with the garments of his righteousness. His garment is not just cover up our dirty sins, okay? And so when you open their smell, no, it's a complete transformation, complete changing. Here it says, those who in everything make God what? First, last, and best are what? The happiest people in the world. And then what follows? Smiles. Can I see your smile today? Not to me, but to him. And sunshine will not vanish from their countenance. In every affliction, God has a purpose to work out for our good. Because all things work together for good, right? Every blow that destroys an idol, every providence that weakens our hold upon the earth and fastens our affection more firmly upon God, then it is our blessings. So I know, especially I know some of you that I personally get acquainted. You have your struggle in your life. But give it up to God. He will take it and he will work it out for our good. And that's where the trust comes. That's where faith comes. So we have a challenge, but the challenge is so easy because Jesus opened all the way, all the ways and preparation for us. Only thing is we have the faith to trust in his faith. Would you willing to do that? If you want, raise your hands. Not to me, but to God.